Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you can join us again for the continuation of Tuesday's conversation, and we look forward to having you participate with us by calling us here live tonight at 657-383-0944. Thank you, Facebook group, our BFC Institute participants. We look forward to have Pastor Ricky Waller to join us tonight, our regular panelists, and you, our listening audience. For those that perhaps are new to the show, Building Families and Communities Institute is a Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit organization. However, we seek to share our model across urban America. So this podcast platform allows us to engage in meaningful, transformative conversations with many communities. And we've began our travels already, and we're grateful that you can join us here on this podcast. If you would like for us to engage you in your area, your local neighborhood, your community, irregardless to where you are across the country, give me a call, 615, that's my personal number, 615-498-4669, or shoot me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Our website is www.bfcinstitute.com, and again, the email is bfcinstitute@gmail.com. All right. We generally have a monologue that provides context for our dialogue tonight, some factual information. And so we'll, about 10-15 minutes, we'll be open up our phone lines. I see we have a call in queue. Welcome to Talk Straight. We'll be right with you in just a moment. And we encourage you to share with us your question, your comments. If you're following us on Facebook, by all means, participate in the conversation thread or just give us a call here tonight at 657-383-0944. That's the studio number. You can talk to us live or you can communicate with us in the Facebook thread. Either way, we'll be happy to have your open participation, and we're grateful again for you taking the time to join us tonight and listening in. I hope we say something that is meaningful. Tonight we're speaking from the topic, how the church functions as the Neighborhood Clinic. Now, last Tuesday, in our conversation, we discussed the meaning and the purpose of the church. There seemed to have been some confusion about what the church's role is and whether or not it should and could engage in certain things outside of traditional liturgy and worship. Okay. Tonight, I'm going to describe to you, as a pastor, as a researcher, and as an advocate for people, how the church can, and most importantly, needs to function as a type of clinic for residents living in socially, economically troubled neighborhoods. And specifically, we're talking about urban America. As you know, we began this year off with a focus on not so much what the problem is, as to how we can work on it. Now, I realize, as the host and BFC Institute realizes, that we don't have all the answers, but we certainly offer some suggestions, some very strong, palatable suggestions that are based in research and much thought over a period of time. So we certainly encourage you to give ear to that. Tonight I'm going to be sharing with you a model that our research-based institution constructed. And we've already shared with some cities. In fact, this weekend I'll be at one, our target cities, and we shared it with others that is detailed in an approach to help churches that are in struggling neighborhoods or communities come together and be a viable, useful force for the people that live there. Now, much of what we're talking about, we've tried right here in Nashville, and we're sharing it in other places across the country. So, again, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. 657-383-0944 is the number that you can call us live and participate tonight. All right, that being said, we're going to go ahead and offer our monologue, and then we'll open up our phone line so that we can have some dialogue. How the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. James, the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse through the 16th verse, reads, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much." The word clinic derives from the ancient Greek klinein, meaning to slope, lean, or recline. Furthermore, klinai, or klini, is a couch or a bed. And klinikos is a physician who visits his patients in their bed. Specifically, as used in the Latin, the word clinicus refers to the word clinic, which means one who receives baptism. Interestingly enough, baptism on a sick bed. One who receives baptism on a sick bed. Okay. Now, you can see there is an applicable reference to the church or the function of the church as indicated by baptism and the need for the clinical presence in urban neighborhoods across America. Building Families and Communities Institute has formulated this model we call the Ecumenical Community Support Consortium, Ecumenical Community Support Consortium. Ecumenical referring to the unifying of religious groups, churches, synagogues, mosques, whatever, temples, individuals who say they are driven by faith in their practice. It is purpose to collaborate and document effective community-based outreach efforts of these religious groups, irregardless of what their denominational affiliation or religious doctrine or dogma may be. It embraces grassroots and nonprofit organizations within that community that vary perhaps in different geographical locations within the city or within a certain region or area. And it does not regard any denominational affiliation, as I said, yet again, or structures. Now, let's talk about, just for a few minutes, what are some of the details or components of this ecumenical community support consortium. All right? We're going to call it for short ECSC. All right? It addresses the issues of building healthy social relationships on four levels of civic interaction. Those four levels of civic interactions are as follows: training around understanding common values and expectations in public schools, in the library, places of business, and other public venues. When we see some of the things that are happening in urban areas that are out of control, it's in these public places that the problem exists, that police are responding to. Okay? Establishing a bridge of communication and support for local neighborhoods made up of various blocks that reflects the interests of the people that live on those blocks. Ensuring that leadership, formal or informal, within a local neighborhood are equipped with the information and resources to provide pro-social instruction and support for families, for children, and individuals that come with various dynamics that make up their individual families and so forth and so on. And then lastly, ensuring that children and youth, is that what we've been talking about all 2017 and since we've been here, young people in particular that are at risk? Well, it's designed, the ECU, to ensure that they receive love, protection, and healthy direction on how they can properly interact in their family, at church, and in the public arena. That's very important. All right, so let's talk about some of the other characteristics here. The ECSC, this consortium, identifies, it tracks grassroots-type efforts. What we found is that as we engage people in various neighborhoods, there were people who may not have been formally organized, but they had some pretty good ideas. And they were doing things that would never get news attention or media attention. And they wouldn't get attention from the people that got the money that hog all the resources in the city. You know, they got the political ear. They have the ear of politicians and folks like that. But they're doing some pretty good things. All right? What this does is it brings those people out. It recognizes and helps them to document the effectiveness of what they're doing and share it on a larger scale by providing technical support and training, okay, in the areas of organization and goal setting, helping those grassroots individuals with strategic planning, methods for collaborating their efforts and sharing information amongst one another, finding funds or funding strategies to sustain those useful practices in those neighborhoods. And lastly, helping them to identify methods to implement those strategies. Not just today. That's what happens a lot. A lot of good things happen, and then they fall by the wayside. But there is sustainability over time. The ECSE consortium offers assistance to public schools That's what everybody's crying about. We need help from the parents. We need help pointing the finger at the parent pointing at the school, and the school pointing it at the state and everybody else. But guess who's suffering? Our babies. All right? So we provide assistance to public schools in this way, in the area of social-emotional support for children attending public schools. Is this in the school? No, not necessarily. But we're providing this at home. The latter will be accomplished by training local faith-based churches and grassroots initiatives to work together in the effort as one single agent for the interests of those children. Now, that's the key right there. Everything can't happen in the brick-and-mortar school. They're only there for a certain period of time. But when they go home, they're in that neighborhood, that community, and you got all these churches. Oftentimes, they're locked up, not being used very well. So what this does is it brings all of these resources to bear and make them useful for everybody. Okay? This has an effect on the schools, on public health services, bringing in social services, employment services, and mental health. Where is this going to be, Doctor? We're going to open the church doors so that individuals who represent these agencies and have these resources can be there. If you snatch a young guy off the street and you said he's loitering or committing a crime or something, before you lock them up, send them to one of these places where they're trained and they're individuals that are prepared to address these needs. Sounds good to me. All right. We talk about how now, how to turn a young person around that's in trouble. Building a common protective factors with neighborhoods and families via the training again and the counseling is a key strategic focus of the consortium. What we find is oftentimes if someone dies in a neighborhood due to a fight or gang or murder, anything of that nature, people are there, they're mourning, and their grief is never really addressed with counseling. And oftentimes, particularly young people, are not able to process these things. So they take it to the school with them. They take it on the bus with them. And you wonder, why is it that they're always on edge and they seem so volatile? And it's easy for them to snap, go off on anything. Oftentimes, consider that there are unprocessed stressors that may lead to some mild depression or something to that effect. You know, it's important to recognize this. So this is why we work with these agencies to identify these things. Specifically, we want to help train parents as to how they can be actively and useful in the public schools. That's where the problems are, right? And what the data says is that there are children who are suffering in public schools academically. Can't read, can't write. Some of them graduate after 4 years, still can't adequately read and write. Have to take remedial courses when they get to college because of that. Okay? Focusing on, you know, we talked about, well, the church can't do everything. It starts at home. This is true. So how do you prepare the parent, the biological parent, and oftentimes the caregiver, a grandparent or some surrogate parent? How do you prepare them and support them in a way that's not judgmental, but is supportive and caring so that they can provide that for their children? That's what we provide the training for as well. Family development education. You know, family health education, things that are related to it, and most importantly, marriage training. It's important that we get people to understand that the bedrock and foundation of any healthy society is the family, and that family is kept together by the adhesive of the commitment in marriage. All right? Effective economic development training. You can't have a community without a system of economic orientation and development, production. And oftentimes, people that say the black community, because black folk that live in the community don't own nothing, it's not your community. I hate to tell you, but it ain't yours. You own nothing. You just live there until somebody get ready to move you out. A classic example is the gentrification that we see all around America. When they get ready for you, they'll show you how expendable you are. You can be easily moved. But if you own the store, you own the hospital, you own the school, you own all of those resources, it's difficult for somebody to uproot your movie out. Are y'all following what I'm saying? All right, so how do we accomplish that? We establish training for young people and old people, not just in job readiness, right, giving them a job, but oftentimes they lack what's known as soft skills training or soft skills, which are simply the mindset to respect the fact that you're working for somebody else. You can't tell them when you're coming in or what you're not going to do on a job or dress any way or behave any way that's going to cause them to lose money. You're not going to be there long. Huh? But guess what? There are young people that got good skill and talent and got a good head on them, too. I'll give you an example of them, the little boys out there slinging dope. They got some intelligence now. You can't be no dummy on the street. Trust me, I know. Right? So entrepreneurial training, teaching them to take those skills, translate them into legal business developmental skills so they can own their own money. They can control their quality of life. Right? You get a bunch of money, what you going to do with it? Need some financial management. You know? And then lastly, an overall model for ensuring that your neighborhood has economic development. That's how it thrives. It sustains itself. Now, you notice I've been talking about the church. What the church got to do is to provide such clinical support. Now, I know we're talking about money, we're talking about schools, we're talking about social things, but guess what? That is a primary function and role of the church. It's certainly needed. If you don't get it, it's needed. You understand what I'm saying? All right. There we go. We open up the phone lines now. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Join us at 657-383-0944. Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir? Can you hear me, Pastor Waller? All right. Oh, look like we just lost him. Okay, perhaps he'll join us back. All right, 615-3072, good evening. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Hi, good evening. Good evening.
Good, good, good. Thanks for joining us. And as well as it looks like Nicole, 0405. Welcome, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay, thank God.
Great, 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 great. You ladies have heard our monologue. What say you? That's Pastor Waller there. What 3072, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the idea is great, and I missed the show last week, but yeah, definitely the church should be a place for, I guess, learning and growth as far as trying to apply things to our lives to make it better for the youth and this younger generation coming up.
Sure, sure. And everybody in general, I would imagine. We got Pastor Waller back. Pastor, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Thank you. How you doing, Dr. Docker?
All right, look like the booger man tried to get you there, man. I told him, leave him alone.
Yeah, he must know I had a backup. 37 was on the line. He must have known that. Enjoy.
All right. You, any comment, yeah. Pastor? You get a chance to catch any of our monologue? Any comment on it before we move forward?
Yeah, I did, man. And I was just thinking about how important it is, you know, from what you said about answers to the problem. I mean, you have the solution, the answer to the problem, because that's where I'm at. I'm right there where you are when you're talking about knowing what to do. And if you have information and then you put it out there,
right?
You know, you've done what you were supposed to do. Now, there's an important part about information. When you have the correct information, why not? You know, that would be the question. Why not open your heart, open your mind to it, you know? And, you know, I feel like this right here, when there's some bad information going on, some bad news. I mean, a seriously format of bad news can draw a lot of attention.
Man, they all
but
on that, ain't
they? Huh? Every now and then, it's all right to bring forth some good news and be able to gravitate to it. You know, and so I think you're right on target, man. You know, I really do. We're talking about solutions to a problem, man.
Yes, sir.
And the church is always, now I haven't always known that, but today I still like to believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he's the same,
that
means that, the solution is right there, man.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
A lot of people don't know it, but that's where the solution is.
Right, right, right. Wow. That mean, you know, it can't get no plainer than that. Nicole, what do you say about it? Any comments?
I agree with you, and also you got to make sure that there's some people in place that don't been there and done all of it, too. They have changed and is tired of the trap and tired of all the jokes and all the things that the devil throw your way.
Right. You know, that's interesting you say that, Nicole, because I think about the work you do with your online piece, and that's a form of grassroots work that, unfortunately, not a lot of people hear about. But it, you know what, it's meaningful. And so you're right. You need people who can speak from the heart of matters and who, from an inside view, can tell you about what's going on as well, and not just from the outside. So great point. Listen, I just noticed that on Facebook, guys, the boss lady is watching, so I better be on my P's and Q's tonight. So y'all pray for me. If I go wrong, somebody get me back on track.
All right.
Let me do this. You all are familiar with, I believe it was Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. Have any of y'all heard of them?
I'm familiar with them.
You're familiar with, okay.
Yep.
Well, what do you say, 37-2?
Yeah, I'm familiar, too.
All right. Well, y'all know they got a song. Look like we lost Nicole there. I hope she called us back. They had a song out entitled Wake Up Everybody. But it was another song that by the OJs, this is Pastor Wild's favorite group, you see. Their song was You Gotta Give the People What They Want. And I just want to catch a few minutes of that, a few lines of that, because that's going to be relevant to part of what we're talking about in terms of the church serving as a clinic in the neighborhood. Some people don't believe that, Pastor. Church folk now don't believe that. That's the job of the church. But we're going to get to that in just a second. Hold on a second.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Let's see what they're talking about here.
Uh-huh.
Listen, guys, they said it's a unanimous decision. People are ready, somebody help me, for a change. Now, there's some folks that want to silence the efforts of stepping outside of the four walls of the church and closing the door. We talked about that the other day, locking the door of the church on Sunday and going out to the streets. Some people say that's too radical. That's not what God called us to do. What do you think about that, Pastor
Juan? Well, I tell you what, you know, preparation should be inside of the church to be able to carry something out.
Right.
Anytime you add up nothing from nothing, it would always leave nothing.
Say what?
So that's the way it is. I mean, it's no sugarcoating. It's no time for compromising. It's time for the truth, man. And the church has a Bible in there.
Yeah.
That's
Yep.
That's loaded with truth. And so if it gives you an instruction and tell you to go to the streets and you don't do it, it's just like obedience is much better than sacrifice.
Right.
The sacrifice is
right.
not go. But
right.
to obey
right.
him is to go. So if you look at that word and you see that the scripture says that and you refuse to do it, especially if you have something to offer. Now, if you don't have anything to offer, I would suggest not to go.
Just get on out the way, right?
Don't
get in nobody's way, right?
Right, exactly. Don't go out there and pretend, because the Bible teaches us about that also.
You
said
right.
if a man
that's
pretends
right.
to be something that he's not, he deceives himself.
Wow.
So, you know, okay. So it's okay, man. We got to give the people what they want. It's what you said in the song. About the OJs, and this song been going on for a long time, and it still have the same powerful meaning to it. And you know, it's certain things that's required to that. You
right.
know what I mean? And once you realize the word got to give the people, that means they got to give it up. But how they gonna give it up if you're not out there on the ground?
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to get out on the ground.
Right. You mind if I go to your friend 3072, see what her comment is?
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely.
What do you say, 3072?
Well, I mean, I'm sticking with Pastor Wally. Get the people.
Wait a minute now. You hold on now.
Man, watch out.
Okay.
True. Yeah.
But so guys, here's the thing. I had a phone call earlier today. And conversation surrounding a young man who announced that he was going to blow some explicatives up. I said, well, what do you mean? Was he serious? He said, yeah, he's looking for somebody, the young man, about, I think he's in his late 20s, maybe going on 30 or so, something like that. Just frustrated, 3072. And he's sick and tired of being disappointed, right? And
yeah.
so, you know, I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor. Well, no, what can you do for him? Well, there are some things that can be done. And one of the biggest problems, Pastor, is that he has blamed all the preachers and all the churches for his frustration and his anguish.
My goodness.
So it's important that when we have a conversation with him, which I intend to very soon, that he understands you got a right to be upset because you're hurting, right? He's one of those people that wants something. If you don't give it to him, guess what he's going to do?
Okay.
He's going to get it. Huh?
The best way he know how.
Say that again, Pat. Say that again, Pat.
Yeah, the best way he know how.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what I call that in the streets, Pastor? Snatch
What's
and
that?
Grab. Snatch and grab.
Snatch and grab.
If you
want to
understand why these young guys so ruthlessly walk up on somebody and will take their life without a second thought just to get oftentimes nothing in a robbery, it's the mindset that, you know what, I ain't got, and you're going to feel my pain. I'm ready to snatch and grab whatever I need because ain't nobody giving it to me. Shoot straight with me, right?
That's
this is the power of this particular piece. You got to give these people what they want. Now, just to say that God said this and God said that, come into church and then we'll take care of you, I'm sorry, and I've been pastoring for going on 22 years, and that dog ain't going to hunt. Again, you got a poodle trying to chase rabbits. What are you going to say, Pat? What are you going to say, Pat?
That's not good. Yeah, I was
no,
saying that's really it's not good, man. And to get down to the bottom line of the whole concept of the solution, you know, the number one thing is the solution, it can handle a problem.
Right. It's designed to,
yeah.
right?
Yes, it is. It is.
It's like a hand in glove, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's true. You know, it's a faith walk. I still believe, I trust that the people would be bold enough to understand that. And I often wonder why, you know, would God do something in particular like this, you know, like you say, came to his own, but his own,
received.
Now, received him not. You see, they rejected him. But then he decided to say, but for those who believe in him, he gave them the right to become sons of God.
Okay.
In other words, he said, there's some people that don't even know me. I'm going to give them a chance to believe in me and give them the power to become sons of God. And so I'm saying that to say this. People who say they love the Lord won't even do what he asked them to do.
What?
Most of them will not do what – most of them will not do it, man, because you say there are churches all everywhere. That's what you said.
That's
– and that's the truth. So –
go with me right now. I can take you in a major city, Pastor, in a major city, and we can find at least 25 of them within a 2 to 3 block radius. Go with me right now.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that, man. And so why not utilize what's supposed to be in those churches and bring it out to the people who deserve it? They not only give them what they want, they deserve it, man.
Right.
And I just been waiting, and I've been looking, watching, wondering. You know, and I say, well, maybe they're just afraid. I always want to give benefit of the doubt. Maybe they don't know.
Let me. I don't mean to be the rude, but Pastor, I'm gonna tell you what I discovered. I discovered that people with good intentions oftentimes don't have enough information to be prepared. Their heart is there, but they really don't know how to deal with those difficult things. Remember, I often asked several times, and we've had guests on the show where I pose a question to them. If you found yourself in a 6x6 dark room with an out-of-control young person, remember I asked that question?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, the dark room is emblematic of the streets. And maybe it's not so much for you, but for that young person that needs you, their life is like a dark room. And what they need you to do is to come in the dark room and bring light to that dark situation.
Right.
If you're not ready to illuminate and to be the light, then we got a problem. Both of y'all in the dark. It's the blind leading the blind. So what we're offering with this ecumenical community support consortium model is how churches can turn the light on in a dark situation.
Yeah,
are you walking with
me? Yes, sir.
That's what we
want to
do. We want to turn the light on in a dark situation.
And, I mean, you say turn it on.
Yeah.
That means that seems like that should be simple to do. You know?
Well.
You would think. Go ahead,
372. I was just going to say, it sounds like possibly is there some mental illness going on with the person? I mean, he's looking to strike out and hurt somebody. What's really going on?
Sure. And that's a great question. And so those are questions you need to ask yourself. When you see the behaviors, when you see the indicators, what is it that we need to do? Is that certainly that's not normal for anybody to
That's not. No.
Right. Right. And you know, you don't know if they're serious, if they're ready to do that right now, tomorrow, next week, or what, right? So the question is, what do we do? The first thing you have to do is to get them to understand that your conversation is not normal. That's not healthy because you may act on those thoughts and really not be in control of your emotions. You see what I mean? But I would Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think, too, I mean, with all this happening nowadays, you know, I'm really sad to see innocent people just losing their lives because of, like, things like what we're talking about now. What do we do? One thing to do, whoever referred the person, what they could have done is maybe try to talk to them to see how serious they are. And then I want to pose the question, do we need to notify some other people, like clinical people, to possibly get this person help or, I mean, the world now needs to understand, I mean, how severe things are. You cannot just go out there making statements like that. Do you understand? Making statements like that a norm now, where it's not normal. But now you hear this, I hear this, and I see this too often, right? And you don't know who to take serious, but you look up and there's incidents on the news where either they've taken their own life or they've taken somebody else's.
That's true. That's true. And you said something that's key, caller, and that is the fact that it's not expected for you to be the clinical psychologist or psychiatrist, okay? But as long as you know how to identify certain key symbols, that's why we talked about in the consortium, there is a process by which within that designated church, there is at least a referral basis. You follow what I'm saying? Locally, they have mobile crisis units, basically, where people can come out, trained individuals can come out and process those type of stressors and things of that nature and make a determination as to where you need to go. Now, one of the problems is that even churches believe that to reach out to psychologists is a sin. That you'd be surprised how many of them do, because they believe you should trust God for that, right? It's not that we don't trust God. We trust that God has given the psychological profession and those that are trained the heart and the knowledge to come and meet the needs of people that are hurt. So it may be something that I'm not best equipped individually to do, but the most important thing we can do is make the proper referral. But first you got to convince them that it's worthwhile them going along with it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's what I was saying. So you're right with you not being a doctor, but your part and your piece is to get them to understand what you're saying is not healthy. It's not well. And you need to, we need to remedy this first, and then we can work on your other things that you upset and frustrated about.
Exactly, exactly. And see why it's, and what you're saying is so important, because what churches can do is to work, and I'm not suggesting that there are none that are doing this. It may be happening, I just don't know about it. But what we can increase on a larger scale is where congregations have a bridge of communication with police departments, such that when police are called to certain incidents and things of that nature, there's a process of de-escalating those type of things. And it may be that you don't necessarily have to arrest them under certain circumstances. You understand what I mean? These are the type of things that it seems to me would be very helpful. And a lot of churches kind of stand off because they don't want to mess up and they don't want to do too much. But I think there's an openness for individuals or training to come in there. And then funding is a big thing. You know, how do we pay for staff, or how do we pay for the lights and other things and what have you? But I just believe God gonna make a way. And when we come together, man, ain't nothing we can't do. I just believe.
And
that.
I believe,
you know,
that I believe that God will make a way too. But again, like, if you don't have a church or you don't have an institution, and maybe you're just a disciple on the street, maybe you're just someone that is trying to do your own evangelistic thing, or, you know, just try to help. Again, man, I cannot stress enough how maybe just a good word from you talking to that person and telling them, hey, man, you going off the deep end. Let's get this, you know what I'm saying, just encourage them to let them know, hey, you do not have to go for the ladder. You can stop right here before you jump off that bridge, that cliff.
Correct. Correct. You know,
people, we overlooking stuff and missing things.
Yeah.
People killing their children, killing their families, just all kind of sick stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
You see how she was reaching out, and just the way she laid it, it was like laying a foundation.
Sure.
When you're dealing with a hurting person, and that person just may take and listen and hear that.
Yeah.
And she know that this person is talking, saying things, and he's speaking in existence, and there's something in his head that's causing him to do it. But when she was able to just bring forth a concern and
right.
share that with him, you never know. As you
that's
say,
true.
You may not have anybody in a church. You know, you could be someone on the street just being able to just say something encouraging to a person. That is power in words. And
sure.
I feel like, you know, we need more of that, someone to have a concern like that, that don't mind saying, even if,
right.
even if under a situation such as that, I can see her now just reaching out and just sharing that. And that's what we need more of, but you gotta take it, as I said earlier, according to the Bible now, because that's what we do talk about a lot, the scripture and
right.
what it says. And
right.
if we just apply that, my goodness, you'd be amazed. You know, you'd be amazed for real the lives that would change just by someone showing
yep.
a concern, a kind
yep.
word. Man. Amazing.
Just got Nicole back. Nicole, you fit, jump in whenever you get ready, darling.
Okay.
You at home. Let me announce again that number is 657-383-0944. If you're listening in to us, feel free to give us a call here or shoot us a comment on Facebook. It looks like Greg Smith is joining us again there. Looks like possibly Bishop Campbell is joining us. I miss Reverend Bohannon. I wasn't able to get him back. I was trying to get him back tonight, but we'll try to catch him there. Reverend Kennedy, Brother Millick Dockery, and possibly Willie Robinson. Lindsay Dabney, welcome. Valerie Brooks, Miss Stearns, one of our previous guests that was on the air with us, Iona McDowell, Brother Henry Campbell. Give us a call here. We'll be happy to entertain your question or comment again, or just shoot us a question on the Facebook thread, and we'll put it up there, and we'll bring it into the conversation. Pastor Waller like answering those kind of questions anyway, so that's a good thing.
No.
Go ahead, Nicole. Go ahead.
I want to say mental health illness is real, and I don't feel like some of those doctors and professional people have the take it serious, because it's a lot of patients that I have seen being mistreated by these people.
Sure,
I have seen how they mistreat them. I've seen how they misconduct the being professional. I tell you, it's a really To be a doctor and be licensed psychologist, you really got to have a real true gift from God and be passionate and patient with these people, because really these people are really going through something mentally, and some of them people, the way they treat them, where they handcuff them and lock them up
yeah.
like animals, is ridiculous, because that makes a problem worse with them, and then they give them all type of medicine that cause even more problems and stress, and then they, you know, basically they treat them like guinea pigs and, you know, try to test this medicine and test this shot on them and stuff like that, and some of that stuff leave marks and leave wounds for the rest of their life, and even make it more worse to have them going out doing drugs and have them more, you know, psychotic than they was, and everything else.
Right.
And how you know that those people who are licensed, how you know they ain't more psychotic than they are? Because I believe they are. Because why? For the simple fact, I have seen so much in that field that it's just unreal. It really is. And I just really feel like they're the people that really need to be examined, because them people is special. No matter what nobody say about it, what nobody try to do about it, them people are special, and they can't help themselves, and they do be wanting help, but it's just so hard to get the right proper help from people with no way of life who always in the book. You got to come outside the box and really help those people and really put yourself in those people's shoes, because them people ain't just acting out just to be doing it, because we're talking
sure.
about some grown people. You know, we talking about some people that should know right from wrong, you know. But
right.
it's
right.
Well,
right.
And Nicole, I agree with you, but, you know, we have to be that second part, you know, when they do leave those clinics or those institutions. institutions or those hospitals. We, the community, their family, their friends, they need, there's a second part to it. You know, they maybe don't trust those doctors or whoever. They know you or they know me or they know their cousin. Or we have to be that second part and be open and receiving. Now, we don't. Mm-hmm. We do need to take into account, you were talking about medicine and stuff, some of them, and I've worked in many places where I've dealt with all types, some people you do have to be careful with, and they do need that darn medicine, because if they don't get mm-hmm. it, Lord be with us all. But again, mm-hmm. there's more than just one part. It takes a village, truly is a village.
I think I appreciate what you ladies are saying, because Nicole, I think she's kind of giving us, Pastor, some light on why people are not so easily trusting of, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists. And it sounds like,
and then the day, because some of them, yes, because some of them do more drugs than the patient. And okay. everything else, and some of them, I'm being honest with you. I am being honest with you. I'm just going to tell the truth, or shame the devil, because the honest God truth, I have seen so many professional people do so much wrong than average person say when they right, you know, and it's ridiculous, because can't nobody point the finger at nobody about doing wrong, because we all fall short of God's glory every
day.
But I'm just saying.
Well, Nicole, let me say this. Let me say this, Nicole. Back in the late 90s, I worked for First Hospital Corporation as a counselor, treatment counselor mm-hmm. at a dual diagnosis facility. They had people with drug and alcohol issues and mental health issues, and oftentimes they had both of them at the same time. And that's what really led to their psychotic episodes, was the drug use and things of that nature. Make a long story short, many of the families, Nicole, had a hard time coming in, seeing their loved ones on sedatives or on medication to calm them down and relax them. It was not an easy sight for them, and that caused them to leave, saying, well, I want to pull them out, and they don't need to be there because they're not treating them right. But because they didn't really understand what the treatment process entailed, it was hard for them to accept that. Does that make sense? So sometimes that gives leaves the wrong impression. Does that make sense, Nicole?
No, because I'm gonna be honest with you, Pastor. I'm telling you, speaking from experience, that medicine ain't all cut out what it's supposed to be. I'm serious. It'll have
you
losing your mind worse than what it should be, and it also has you sleeping and all kind of stuff, missing days and nights and everything else.
Sure.
That is, sometimes it ain't always the medicine. What it is it, you need somebody to talk to you and therapy. Bottom line, it's going to take a lot of therapy and one-on-one counseling to get you where you need to be. Sometimes people just need love and a hug.
That's
and so
true.
Sometimes people need to know they exist. Not always stick to them or put them on something, and then they say, you know, it's side effects to it, you know, and stuff like that. People sometimes just need love and attention and need to know that they exist and they are important and they are somebody. Not always doping them up with some medicine, because they trying to recuperate from the drugs or something, or recuperate from, and then at this day, it's just like people always make problems worse, because I've seen people do sexual activities with these people, and these people don't be trying to do that. They be trying to really get themselves together. It's just too much. It's like,
I think your point is well taken, that there are incidents that happen, but I want to believe, Nicole, by far there are more incidents that are more positive where people benefit from. Now, I am personally concerned about sometimes pharmaceutical interests in overprescribing and things of that nature, and sometimes misprescribing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that there's no nefarious intent on part of the doctors, but sometimes that happens. And so you're right, you know. But I guess the opportunity here, Nicole and panel, is for working with the churches and mental health professionals, there can be some education around those things. So it will help families identify. You know, right now, if a family member was out there having some sort of mental health crisis, not even families can stop them or have them hospitalized if they're an adult. They have to do something either to hurt themselves
or someone else before intervention
mm-hmm. takes place. You know, I understand you have to try to balance the right of the people, the patient, and that sort of thing. But as 3072 said, oftentimes innocent people become their victims, and they don't have anything to do with whatever. So, you know, as a community, there's a role we all can play. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, 3072.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to add to what you were saying. And Nicole was saying, I mean, sometimes it don't even have to get to that point. It should not get to the point of where somebody is 45 and 50 years old and then the family want to start extending hugs and giving love. That mm-hmm. like you were saying, we need to start when they're young. We need to start when they're young. We need to be involved. And, yeah, maybe you missed it with your uncle, that you got a niece or nephew that's 8, that's 10, that's 17, that's 20, you can reach them. Not to say to stop trying with the older people, but what you can do, let's do that. Let's be proactive instead of reactive.
Right. You know, that's man, Pastor, that's a powerful point that these ladies are making. Because we often ask, Pastor, well, what you want the church to do? Well, people give their tithes and their offering and their trust to the church institution generally. And if there is, along with your preaching, along with the choir singing and all the other stuff you do, Bible study, if there are opportunities for just families can learn how to say, I love you, 3 times a day to their children.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And getting past taboos of hugging them and a father saying to a son, son, I love you. And then not be taken wrong, or mother, vice versa. Those type of things are things that church ministry can, and again, I'm not suggesting that nobody is doing this, but when we go to certain areas, certain precincts where people live that are struggling, we know that they're not getting that type of love. So, Nicole, your point is well taken, that we do, that's a medicine by itself. And that's something that, as a church institution, we can work hard to identify and provide. So I think those are great points that are being made there. You're going to say something, 3072?
I was just, giving kudos to you for that thought. Love is what we need. I mean, that's the foundation of the Bible. What did he say? God so loved the world. He loves the world. So we have to extend that. We've got to extend that. That's the basis right there. That's it, right there. That's it.
Yeah. Were you going to say something, Pastor? Go ahead.
I think the bottom line to that, you know, that's just the bottom line. I mean, if you just take that one scripture, if nobody have ever seen the scripture, have read it, I'm sure most people have heard that. And the purpose of that, that's why it says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, that is the word of God. God so loved the world. And he gave. So if he gave, then if you say you love the Lord because he heard your cry, you know, and you know that he did, and then there's someone out there right now crying out, and they're taking medicine, and sometimes that medicine is, if you really get down to it, it's for the love of money. And then if you're going to kill it with someone with medicine and they happen to, like, want that medicine again, and all of a sudden it become a big part of them, that's just the way it is. You see what I'm saying? And no, some of those people who are extending the medicine to people, they probably never have taken that medicine. So, you know, it's a possibility that they're just going according to the order. You see?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Pastor Wallace.
Go ahead.
A year or two ago, I was prescribed some Wellbutrin for anxiety. I think, as black people, and it helped me great. greatly. It helps me. I'm not a walking zombie. I work out. I work to keep me calm and less stressed. So all of it's not bad, and I think it's not taboo to go and talk to somebody and tell somebody that, hey, I'm experiencing more stress or whatever than I can deal. Yeah, you need to go and get looked at. Now, you're right. I agree. Some of these darn things, they just giving to people just to make money. But at the same time, you need to check more into yourself, not just your physical health, but your mental health too, and see what works for you.
Exactly.
Do research. Do your homework yourself. Yeah, and if it's not working, it's not working. If it's you got to pay attention, though. Everybody cannot just do everything totally. Sure. Then that's another thing that I'm seeing. We're all, and I ain't going to say we all, a lot of people are just wanting crutches. Be it the church, they can go run in and out of and when they need in a crisis. And they need help with this, and they need where the church at. Where have you been? Are you contributing? Are you helping? You get what I'm saying? We can't just make excuses. Yeah. We need to be for real.
Sure.
Yeah, it's that time.
So everybody have a responsibility, is what you
Yes.
That's the thing called everybody have some responsibility for what's going on. Okay.
Yes.
I want to ask, Nicole, do you think that would be easier for, and this is not just African Americans, anybody, do you think it would be easier, but we know the history of African Americans not trusting doctors, okay, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment back in the 1940s and what have you, there's a long history there and that's been passed down, but in general, Nicole, particularly young people today, because a lot of them are out there, they don't have any sound basis of purpose and identity and focus, right? And it's easy for them to give in to what's in social media and things. So, Nicole, do you think that one significant role that a congregation, a church group can play is to be a sounding board for them? Does that make sense, Nicole? You there? I don't know if she can hear me or not. Pastor, did you hear the question?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear the question. I'm sorry about that. You said that. You said sounding board.
Yeah, the church. The church as an institution, as a place in a pillar in the community, can you think they can be a sounding board for those young people? Come on.
First of all, I'm gonna tell you something.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it's gonna take a real strong individual to be able to notice and being in them shoes to be able to notice like what's going on with the young folks mentally, physically, and emotionally, because, like I said, the church is a good avenue, too, for some resources sometimes, not all the time, because some churches are not really compassionate. And you got to really be compassionate. Love have to be really in your heart where you can see it. You can talk the talk, but you also got to walk the walk. You know, it's a lot of people talking. It's a lot of people talking a lot of positive, godly things, but they're not doing those things, okay?
I'm serious,
and you got to really be hands-on. You got to be open 24/7 to needs. The church shouldn't be open on Sundays and Saturdays or anniversaries or nothing like that. The church supposed to be a hospital. You know what I'm saying? A hospital open 24/7. You know? And that's how a church is supposed to be. It's supposed to have on-call people 24/7. There's enough people out here should be on call 24/7 that want to work for God. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't nothing like that, because that's not what God always wants his people to be, have their needs met. That means physically, mentally, and emotionally. That's the reason why it should be somebody open, available 24 hours sometimes to help somebody. Somebody just may be wanting to talk. somebody may, family member may not be showing them no love or nothing, maybe putting them out or something. You know, you got to be able to say, God, please show me what I need to do, you know, because you should be a resource also for homeless shelters and stuff like that, too, because why? For the simple fact, them homeless shelters and stuff ain't for them people. They take all that stuff in and they get some of that stuff for themselves. It's just some of this stuff is just set up for gimmicks and to, you know, for self, you know,
well,
to make things look good.
Okay, so
I'm
Nicole.
No,
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. It sounds like to me that you can identify with someone who comes into a shelter. Say you got the church open and got a shelter, and you can identify with them coming in being skeptical of everybody and not being trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do we break that wall of distrust? Or is it possible?
Yes, it
what
is
do we have
possible.
To do? Okay, what
it
do we have to do?
Possible.
All right.
You have to.
All right.
You have to sometimes show that person that you are really there for them, not just one day, but like it don't have to be, you know, because sometimes you gotta you can't enable a person all the time, because if you do, that's what they're gonna do. They just gonna keep doing the same thing. But you gotta be able to let that person know, like, I mean, be honest with that person about their life and about what they can be, where they can go. And what they can do, don't sugarcoat it, don't beat around the bush.
Okay.
Look, I've been here, I've done that, or I've seen such and such, and I really see you're a bright, intelligent young man or young woman, and I think you can do so much better in life if you just try taking your medicine or just try going to church for a little while,
okay.
Read your Bible. You don't have to go to church, congregate with everybody. You don't have to open up and talk to everybody, because you'll probably shut up or, you know, go in a shell again if something is said wrong. Who knows? You know, you just got to really be blunt and honest.
All right, so it sounds like you're really describing the process of building therapeutic rapport with such an individual, which makes sense. And it's, Pastor, it's noteworthy to say that particularly in a church setting, not everybody is well-trained and apt to do that. And I'm not suggesting that you should step out of your lane and try to do that, which is, again, is to focus ecumenical training to make sure that you have at least those resources readily available when they're needed. I never will forget, Pastor, when I was at FHC, they had a Hispanic gentleman come in, and nobody on shift to speak Spanish fluent enough to figure out what his problem was. Well, they brought him in like at 11 o'clock at night. By 7 o'clock that morning, he had hung himself, killed himself.
Oh, wow.
And
Oh, wow. The
nurses, the charge nurse and everybody was feeling pretty bad, and we were all just kind of bothered by it. But the lesson there was you got to make sure you have the proper resources available as they're needed, if you're going to be open. And I think, Nicole, your point is well taken. It's better, and our pastor said this earlier, it's better if you don't know and you're not ready, it's better to get somebody else so that you don't make matters
worse.
That's
right. That's right. Well, I can share an experience. I was going to a church, and there was a young lady that came there needing help. And, man, the pastor of the church was awesome. He was open, trying to help this lady with her baby, and she was new in town, and the lady was nice. I took her in. She had dinner at my house. You know, we just did the church, whatever we could, buying diapers, you know, right. She got so, like Nicole was saying, used to that. She started telling us what brand she take only. She only used this. No, I you know, she got so used to us doing for her, she didn't want to do for herself. And I'm thinking like, okay, lady, we're trying to build you up so you can cut off of this, not for this to become your lifestyle through here.
Right.
Yeah, so you, and she had some mental issues too, I believe. But, right, you got to be, man, equipped, I guess, enough to know how or what to apply to each situation because they're different.
Sure. Pastor Wallace. Go ahead, right quick, Nicole, then I'll go to Pastor Wallace. Go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, and you know, you gotta take it one day at a time. This stuff don't sometimes, you know, change just don't come overnight because this just didn't happen overnight. You know what I'm saying? It's a process to change. It's a process to work in the steps to try to get a better, you know, a better building, a better foundation. You have to really take the steps and get all the directions. Not just your own directions, but also the guidance from God and others that's been there. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think our biggest peace is in life is that we overlook the leaders, the real true leaders. So let me tell you, the real true leaders is the one that's been in the trap. Not the ones that went to school all day and let the teacher teach them stuff. Because I'm going to tell you something. God gives his people wisdom and knowledge no matter what. Not saying education is not important. It is. But still, at the same time, God gives those people that's been out there in the wilderness more education than the people that have been sitting in school for 40 years and 40 days or whatever you want to call it. Because we can say that because I am a true believer because at one time I was so illiterate, I couldn't spell this and write that, but God have equipped me so good. Oh, my God. Woo. When he began to work with me, he began to teach me how to do a lot of stuff. And I was like, God, you are so awesome. And, you know, and these were things that people, my own teacher, history teacher, English teacher used to say, I couldn't do it. I wasn't going to be, you know. So look how God worked. So that's where I know that. Yes, sir. So.
Okay. All right. Let me turn to Pastor Waller. Pastor, what's the formal name of the ministry that you currently have?
Oh, the ministry that I have is entitled New Way Outreach Ministry.
Yes, sir. Mm. Interesting. Listen to the title, New Way Outreach Ministry.
Yeah.
By the way, Pastor, my son was sporting a T-shirt while he was here on break.
Watch out, man. That's quite a year.
Will you kind of describe how you come up with that and the things that the unique things that you do that are not traditional in some ways, I guess you might say. I think it may be helpful for people to kind of understand because now I know that and I've been talking about Pastor Waller and I working together and how we met. It just seems to me, Pastor, that there are a lot of good, well-meaning people and well-structured organizations that are traditional in what they do, and that if they use some of these strategies, they may be able to bring their best efforts up to ante a little bit. So if you will, just for a few minutes, if you could kind of speak to the unique nature of outreach that you've employed thus far.
Yeah, what happened, Pastor, I had a form of gratitude for what the Lord had done for me. And, you know, I had a chance to witness before I became a minister. And
okay.
In doing so, I knew that the compassion that God had for me, I desired to do likewise, you know, to other people. And then I found out it says that we're so great a cloud of witnesses. And when you become a witness, that means that this is a part of your life. And I had to deal with that. And all of a sudden in the year 2000, it was birthed in existence. It was three young ladies that asked me to do a Bible study with them. And so after doing so for a little while, then they came back at me and said, we want to name it something. You know, and so I didn't want to name it anything. When they decided to take a shot at it, you know, all three of them named one name, another one named something, and then the other one named something. Then they say, well, we want you to name something as well. Well, I wasn't trying to do that, and I said, well, and I just went on and said, you will out this ministry. And then they said, that's the one we want right there. so it was breaking the business, man, you know. I didn't want to name nothing, man, because – walking in the newness of life, man, it's something about when you're walking in the newness of life, there's a new way, meaning that my old way was the way. And he said, behold, all things become new. So I felt like, you know, what's wrong with the new way? You know, try it. You know, if you're always doing good, try the new way.
And, you know, Pastor, that sounds descriptive of the what Nicole was offering in terms of genuineness and having been there, you know what I mean? And being able to speak truth to reality because of your, in part because of your experience. Now, I don't want Nicole to think that education, formal education, is not useful. I don't think she's saying that either. She can correct me if I misunderstand her. But certainly that school without wall of real life experience is invaluable. You can't get away without it too.
Yeah, it's definitely beneficial.
When we was growing up, we called it street sense, book sense, and common sense. And that's
what you call it, Nicole, street sense, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Nicole, you can't make it on the streets without some intelligence. Okay? The streets will even swallow you up otherwise. So I feel you. You know, sometimes, Nicole, when people see me, they see my suit and tie, and they assume that I ain't never been through nothing. You understand what I'm saying? And I got I got a few rough edges, Pastor. Are you working with me? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've heard the thunder roar, and I've seen the mountains clap. You know. But the point is that God has blessed us to make it through those experiences. And yes, it's only useful to share what you know. So that's a very important thing. We got about 13. Pastor, you messing with the clock again, man?
How did that happen again?
Can Pastor Waller, can you mess with the clock when I'm at work too? I mean, oh my, time go by so fast.
Yes, I'll make sure.
We'll run it down, Nicole. When I get back to Nashville next week, I want to get with you so that we can. I know I'd love to have your online piece and some of the individuals that we talk with in 17 to kind of talk about that, what you were doing with the young people. I think that's helpful in terms of a movement toward a solution. That's really what we want to focus on this year. And I like what you were sharing with me in terms of, will you just recap that right quickly, who you're targeting and what you're hoping to do with them, if you don't mind, Nicole?
I'm targeting a lot of young people that's being portrayed by adults for sex, just for entertainment and other purposes. And I'm letting them know that they don't have to do all of that, because some people are not fortunate enough, and they are using their bodies for sex and stuff like that, and it's just not good. It's really it's a trip, because some parents are not paying attention to where their children is and what their children are doing.
That is so,
and their children are really caught up in the social media sites, and they have a whole lot of them. And it's ridiculous. Kids talking about 7, 6, 11 years old, my mouth was just like, wow. I could not believe it. It was a hurting feeling to my spine and everything to see it. And I'm like, baby, Princess, what is you doing on here? Why is you on here, you know? So God begins to work with me then, and me and a few other people, and we got together to decide to try to do something better to help the young folks.
That's awesome.
You know, it's amazing how this culture has developed itself, this subculture of children using their bodies for media gratification, seeking to identify themselves through sexuality. I don't know what can be done.
Not trying to cut you off. In some countries, and I've learned a lot too, it's just a trip, because in some countries, it's okay for kids to have sex with grown folks.
Sure.
And I didn't know that, and they done broke it to America. So some words, people may feel like Trump is being ignorant about when he said what he said, but when you get down deep about it, it's a lot of stuff coming over here that wasn't over here, and now it's all exposed over here. So I don't know. I just pray. I keep praying about that situation too, but still, it's stuff going on over here that really wasn't going on here over here, and I'm not being to it.
I agree, and then I disagree. Agree. I mean, it goes way, way back in history. There were some things that was brought over here, not just by people from the Middle East or Africa or those other places. You got the Anglo-Saxons even bringing things over here from Europe. So, I mean, that it's widely. It's around the table. You got to, yeah.
But
there's certainly a need for balance.
Now we're
going
to get into a political, it needs balance, because that president, I'm sorry, everything he do, say, and think is ignorant and it's hurtful toward this country. That's just my opinion on him.
That's true.
Right.
But, you know, I was thinking about what he was breaking down, because they was trying to say that, you know, a lot, because I'm not agreeing with him, because I really didn't vote for him or Hillary. I didn't vote for neither one of them because I really didn't like neither one of them. And I felt like I vote wouldn't matter nobody, because it never does. Because they really, really, to be honest with you, they cover that up too. I'm serious.
Okay.
Nicole,
we get into the politics another time.
Yeah, we've already turned the show into a mental health issue.
No. Well, that's in part what we're talking about there. 3072 is the role of the church, how the church can be a viable asset to communities.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we emphasize the fact that you have so many of them centrally located to these neighborhoods that are literally struggling. You know, and therefore there is a, I think, generally speaking, that the pastors and the congregation mean well and want to do, but perhaps they're just not quite equipped, which is why we come up with this ecumenical community support consortium model that can be used anywhere across urban America or rural America, for that matter. But were you trying to say something, Nicole?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
What we going to do, man?
You know, we got to keep on pushing, you know, and I would say that for a purpose, you know, when you desire to stand firm and recognize how to dress up when it's time for action, you have to put on the whole arm. Yeah, see, once you do that, there's no half-step into the whole arm. That means when things are going well, you have the whole armor on. When it's not going so well, according to what you may see in the physical realm, but because you dressed up when you step out, that means you're already ready with a steadfastness that you cannot be moved in spite of what it looked like. The reason I'm saying that is because if I didn't do that, I would give up in a moment. But because I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for,
my Lord,
and the evidence of things not seen. So I just keep on trucking. Yeah, I just keep on trucking as a result of that. And I just encourage you to keep doing the same thing.
That sounds like good news right there, man. Sounds like real good news.
Yes,
it is.
No matter what it looks like.
No matter how it looks, huh? Well, so we're grateful that each of you have joined us, and time has become our enemy yet again, and it's working against us, but we got about 5 minutes here. I just want to reiterate the text, if I could, before we leave tonight, because I think, Pastor, this speaks volumes to where we are, and it's certainly a light to me. In James, the fifth chapter, says, it asks a question, 30:72, is any sick among you? Mm-hmm. Then it goes on to offer a solution, Pastor.
Okay.
Let him call for the elders of the church.
Whoa.
Let me put
Whoa.
A pin right there. Who are
Sound like
these elders?
Out.
Huh?
Yeah. Sound like they're reaching
who
out
are
right
these,
there.
Who are these elders? You know, we've been doing church for a long time. Who's mature enough to answer the question, is it any sick among you? You see, we're going to get there. We've been talking tonight about how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. We got to show a willingness to do so in order for this to manifest itself. Now, on the flip side of that 30:72, people have got to be open and willing to work with the church.
That's
huh?
great. Yeah.
And the church must have order. It must have discipline, right? And it must have structure.
Yeah.
And if folk ain't willing to be ordered, disciplined, and structured, even the church going to have to let them know, look here now, we got to do something different now. I love you like peanut butter and
right.
jelly. On wheat bread with a cold glass of milk, Pastor Wallace. That's a poor man's meal right there.
Watch out,
huh? You understand what I'm saying? But even though I love you, you still got to be ordering it. You got to be decent and in order, because that's scripture too. That's scripture too.
That's right. That's right.
So, final thought, 30:72. What do you think about it? We're about to get out of here.
I think, wow, we have really had some great dialogue, and I just want to thank you two beautiful men, Pastor Waller and Pastor Dockery, for what you do.
Oh, bless you.
Keep
bless
it going.
You.
My goodness, you're awesome. You're awesome.
Nicole, final thought before we get out of here right quickly.
I just want to say thank you, Pastor Waller, and thank you, Pastor Dockerman, for having me. And keep doing what you're doing.
Bless you, Nicole, for what you do, sweetie. I know it may seem rough sometimes, but just hold your head up and keep doing what you're doing, darling. Keep doing what you're doing. All right,
yes,
let's give us a word here, man, folks. We got about 3 minutes. You there, Pastor?
I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing for sure, man. Once we always recognize and stand firm on it, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and He'll tell us to rejoice and to be glad in it. That's the time when it speaks volume to let it be known that we expect God to move each and every day. Once you put a day in motion, it doesn't matter about what one think or say. As long as you make the day, that's where the hope lies at right there.
Listen, as we leave tonight, know one thing. The individual to solve the problem is not going to be Superman. It's not going to be Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or not even Jesus Christ himself. But it's got to be us. If it's to be, it's up to me. So the good news is that there's yet hope. And if we're willing to allow God to use us, He can make a difference in our life. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we'll be back, Lord willing, next Tuesday with another episode of Talk Straight. Pastor Waller, thank you. 30:72.
You're welcome.
Nicole, appreciate you guys. I'm looking for a hero. And we'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight.
Thank you, ladies. 30.
Case.